From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com. We're live from the University of Accra, finally. It's here, doctor.
Yeah.
So, like, normally, when do the goosebumps, you know, start pre the conference?
So, the Indaba is a big thing. Yeah. We've got more than 800 people from all over Africa here together, 36 countries, more than a year of planning.
Yes.
And the goosebumps start when the first people arrive.
When the first people arrive, right?
When you know things are probably not going to go wrong, when all the things become executable, when it really becomes real.
But now, doctor, explain to me, when it was just the eight of you, 2017, running around, before the 50-plus volunteers, how was it during that time?
It's a dream. So imagine growing up in a place where when you had to do AI, you had to travel to America to go to a conference.
Yes.
And you had the conference in the like, oh, this is from Africa. And you can win a Toyota if you spot someone from the same continent as you. If you spotted a black person, you could win a BMW.
A BMW,
so this is really a dire situation. And there's really a desire for people to do something homegrown, to do training on African soil, because the community is there, but they're very disconnected.
Yes, sir.
If you're in Zim, you didn't know it's Africans.
Yes, sir.
So how did it start? We thought we could run a small summer school for 50 students, 700 students applied. So there's really demand, this hunger in Africa for learning and education.
Doc, when you started your studies over the years, could you share some insights? What's been the development, maturation, the state of machine learning and AI generally on the continent?
Yeah, 20 years ago, AI was not a thing. I mean, AI wasn't a thing at all 20 years ago. It was called machine learning. Mm. People were going through the AI. It was called the AI winter.
Yes.
No one really wanted to do AI, and things have changed because of technology that has progressed.
Yes.
20 years ago in South Africa, there were probably three or four people who worked on neural networks or
machine learning across
all universities.
Yes,
now it's completely exploded as a discipline.
And that explosion, what about that explosion attracted you to go into the sector or pursue research and study into the sector?
Oh, it's interesting. I did computer science.
Okay.
I was really bad at hardware, but I loved mathematics.
Okay.
And AI is machine learning, is the intersection of mathematics and tools and actually building things. You use mathematics to create something that works, that predicts stuff, that can tell you things, that can decode speech.
Mm-hmm.
So I really saw that as I didn't really see it as the future. I just saw it as cool. And I think many of the attendees here at the Indaba, I mean, they see it as the future, but they're here because it's building cool tech.
Yes. On that theme of cool tech, Doc, what cool stuff have you worked on? Just, you know, paint the picture. What cool projects or, you know, stuff have you worked on?
The nicest project I ever worked on was I was involved in the Xbox One launch.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So this is years ago. This is my pre-DeepMind, pre-Apple, pre-Indaba. I worked for Microsoft.
The very first Xbox?
Xbox One.
Xbox One.
So not Xbox 360, Xbox One.
Okay,
One. We did the back-end recommender system.
Okay.
All the machine learning design. It took about 2 or 3 years to get it right.
Yes.
And speaking about goosebumps moments, the minute when people actually started turning on the Xbox
Ones
and the consoles, and you see the numbers hitting your back-end system and your technology making predictions to people online and then purchasing. And also the nerves of knowing that seeing some machines fail and making sure that everything goes right. People staying up all night making sure that Xbox One launch is according to plan. That's fun. So I still have a white Xbox at home, like the launch team.
The
launch team Xbox One.
Yeah, who knew a South African was involved in the launch of the Xbox One? Like, we never hear of these things, Doc.
Yeah, no, it was.
How did you get on the team? Like, how did you get involved?
Interesting. In the world? So I was in Microsoft Research.
Okay.
I worked in Cambridge, okay. And I worked in a team where a number of people worked on recommender systems. So these are the systems that recommend stuff for you to buy.
Yes.
Which we know is quite commonplace now, 100%. But that back then it was. Wasn't and my team worked 16 hours a day plus, and everyone got burnt out. And I said, I'm not going to quit before I reach a certain date in the calendar. And so the whole team got burnt out before my resignation date. And then when the team disappeared, the Xbox team really needed people to do work on their recommendations. And they said, who's around? And so I raised my hand.
Yeah,
and literally within, the team was based in Tel Aviv in Israel, and within 2 days I was on a flight to Tel Aviv, integrated in the team in Israel, and we had this fantastic 3 years of working on only one thing.
Yes.
Which is like ML for Xbox.
For Xbox One.
Only one product.
Wow.
It was cool. We worked with people who are artists, who are singers, people in the movie industry, games creators.
Yes.
So it's a fun place. I'm not a gamer.
You're not a gamer, but I mean, you're well versed for 3 years of the ecosystem
and
how it applies to the technology.
Yeah, and I think that's the thrill of AI and machine learning is that you could build things that you can actually touch. There's a lot of research going on, and these things are great, but ultimately to have something that you build that you can touch and feel, and your parents can touch and understand,
100%.
That's nice. So that's the one part that I love and really miss.
Yes, Doc, you've been 20 years into the field, in the sector. You're seasoned now, and you help a lot and work a lot with younger researchers. Yeah. Interns and. What about the much more younger researchers in academia and AI machine learning? Do you think they are much more fortunate now in this era vis-a-vis when you entered the space?
Yes and no. So yes, because there's a lot more funding, many more opportunities.
Yes,
when you had to do research 15, 20 years ago, you had to self-fund, you really had to fight.
Mm.
But the research community was a lot smaller.
Yes,
so
sir.
It was quite easy to... There wasn't so much hype, so it was quite easy to publish something. Now everyone's doing AI, so it's a lot harder to
break in.
Find your niche and
yes.
break in. You also have to do, you have to be a lot better now to do AI than we had to be 20 years ago. 20 years ago, we could do basic things.
We could
pass as AI researchers.
You're part of the team now.
So now students are super smart.
Yes.
They execute things that I can't in a million dreams. Dream to execute and build. I'm left behind. If I go to the practicals at the deep learning in Durban now, half the pracs I barely understand.
Yes.
It's moved so fast. So and then you see these students from all across Africa
are
completely proficient in the pracs they do. They do they execute code, they design things that are almost beyond my wildest imagination.
Yes. From a, when you look at, you know, students and AI, you know, aspiring AI, you know, scholars and researchers on the African continent that come to deep learning in Durban, what surprises you, or what sort of, what interesting things are you picking up with the students and the body of people coming here?
Grit and motivation.
Oh.
I find more motivation and grit and willingness to really suffer for the sake of education than I found anywhere else in the world.
Yes.
It's that and then the willingness to contribute and serve and help out.
Yes.
It's not a place where you come and receive. This is really a place where you come and give.
God.
And maybe along the way you learn a few things and pick up some things in your practice. Also beautiful is that this thing is an entire volunteer movement.
100%.
No one gets paid.
Yes, sir.
It's a strange concept because people spend hours and hours and hours volunteering for a common cause.
Yes.
And I think so. And that common cause is education and tech development in Africa. Everyone
100%.
Has this desire to see Africa build more cool technology. Everyone has a desire to see more PhDs come out of Africa.
Yes,
and then to see the attendees and students really take ownership of this vision, that's great. It's beautiful to see.
Now, Doc, when you benchmark students and attendees from deep learning in Durban,
yeah,
and you benchmark them with conferences. I mean, you're all over the world, in Asia, on AI, machine learning. Where do we rank up? How far or how ahead or where are we on the scale?
We still have a way to go.
Okay.
We compare to American and European conferences. We are three or four steps behind, yes, I'll just be honest. But then you should also understand that opportunities aren't dished out equally.
Yes,
so with 6 months or a year of training, any of these students would be on par with a student in any of the big universities in Europe. And that's why we do what we do, is opportunities aren't equal.
Mm.
And so students who are here are supremely talented.
Yes, sir.
And this is about just giving them an opportunity, a small opportunity, and then they run with it.
Yes, sir. What would it take, I mean, just on that thinking, what would it take to get us that one notch up from a resource perspective? And you could go into much more detail. Is it money? Is it just the institutions coming in, the leading institutions in AI, whether it's research centers, whether it's the actual companies? What would it take?
Regulation.
Okay. Regulation as well.
AI is a fast-moving industry.
Yes,
universities move a lot slower.
Yes, sir.
So if there are ways in which you can get universities move faster, money always helps.
Yes.
There's always an attraction for a qualified data scientist from Africa to go and work abroad.
Uh-huh.
Critical mass would help. So if there's a big pool of people doing machine learning or AI researches in Johannesburg, say, which there is now, then you'd find people who would have job offers for the US and then they stick around in Joburg because they have a larger
the community
sense of
is
community
there
and a sense of purpose.
Purpose, 100%.
The other thing that I think is really important to realize is in the long run, you have to think about where you can really do pioneering work.
Okay.
And someone in the panel discussion last night mentioned the difference between well-established institutions and courses and countries and companies and places where things aren't as well established.
As well established, yes.
And the opportunity
that lies in that.
Yeah, is where things are not well established.
100%.
And so if you think, where can you do the most pioneering work? It's like where things aren't well established. This is now the time of AI.
Ooh, definitely.
But the time of AI is not going to last. In 10 years' time, it's going to be the time of something else.
So the winter's going to come.
So it's now an opportunity for students and researchers in Africa to really dive deep and try and innovate in Africa. And the opportunity for crazy innovation is not going to last forever.
Yes.
Like then innovation would probably be some other discipline that we can't predict.
Yes, yes. In the early days of deep learning in Daba, what were the biggest barriers in terms of putting together the very first one? Or let's say the first couple of ones, the first one or two ones.
Can I be honest?
Yes, sir.
Visas. It is a pain to travel between countries in Africa.
And
South African visas are slow. South Africans aren't unique in being very bureaucratic in the way they organize visas. Every event that we have, there are students from one country who can't attend.
They can't attend because of some visa
issues. Maybe there's something for African governments, African Union. I have no idea who should...
Yes, sir.
We should address this.
Yes, sir.
When visas aren't the issue, there's always some other thing.
Some other thing.
That's my one wish, actually, for all of Africa, is that there's a smooth visa system where it's easy to apply for tech jobs in Africa and visas for foreigners to be issued so that we can sort of get movement and counter the brain drain.
Doc, there's a lot of hype, good hype around AI machine learning right now, but there's also a lot of fears and sort of, you know, a lot of considerations. And I think you touched on some of them. Someone like yourself that's, you know, deep in the sector.
Yeah.
What are you, I won't say what you're worried about. What other opportunities do you see from the narrative of what's going on generally in the world and the vacuums that still need to be closed, where we could take advantage of that or take a lead and really lead in terms of research or from a commercialization
perspective? Yeah, Africa has 3,000 languages plus that's being spoken here. If you look at research in languages, English, French, Chinese, or the big languages, and there's a whole long tail of languages that people don't have the knowledge to speak. So what do you speak at home?
Sotho.
There we go.
Yes.
So you should actually be a machine learning researcher and you'll have a strong contribution because no one in Silicon Valley speaks Sotho.
Yes, sir.
So you've got almost a niche market at your fingertips.
Yes.
So after this interview, you'll switch jobs.
100%. I might start a career after
But that's exactly the opportunity that exists now in Africa, is this wealth, languages, wealth of problems that you can't really execute anywhere else because they don't exist anywhere else.
Yes. Doc, you're a board of trustee.
Yeah.
On the board of deep learning in Dhaba. I mean, luckily now you don't get to worry about logistics. I mean, you worry more about strategic sort of objectives. Yeah. When you have those meetings as the board of trustees, what is the one or two priority areas looking into the future for deep learning in Dhaba?
So deep learning in Dhaba comes in at a very specific segment in the, what I want to call the talent pipeline. So students, researchers, academics come here, practitioners, companies, and it's a one-week hype injection.
Yes.
Get a lot of training, a lot of input, and then students leave and then they go to their home countries.
Yes.
And they might go back to Burundi. So we've got two attendees from Burundi here. Burundi is not a rich country. They don't have many resources.
Yes.
And so top of mind question is how is student from Burundi, for example, would have a career progression and grow a strong tech community and
within Burundi.
And have a chance to really flourish.
And
gain resources.
Yes.
And so for 1 week we give a lot of resources, but that's not just really sustainable. So that's very much top of mind, is how we can add additional layers of more formal training.
Yes.
To this, and then for the rest, a big part for us is to support all the communities that's just grown out of the deep learning in Dhaba. We've got startups, we've got at least 4 or 5 grassroots initiatives, Masakane, Sasonke, we've got Lalapo is now a startup. I know there are like a number that I'm not missing, not mentioning now. Really making sure that they work well, and then the last pillar is that we run these in Dhaba X events in specific countries.
In specific countries.
And it's a lot cheaper.
Yes.
You don't have to get a visa because you're traveling
in your country.
It's local, it's organized. And we can't get 800 people together every time if there are like 5, 6, 7,000 applicants. Plus. It just doesn't scale. You always have to exclude people.
Yes.
And to work really work on inclusion, the local in Dhaba exercise are extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of energy would go into funding them in a better way, supporting them in a better way to make sure that they're more connected to startups, to the local universities.
Okay.
Doc,
we're in Ghana, University of Ghana. Is it your first time in Ghana?
It's my first time in Ghana.
And how was the trip?
It's great. It's like
where were you traveling from when you came to Ghana?
I came from the UK.
UK?
Yeah.
How long was the flight?
It's 7 hours.
7 hours, okay.
Yeah.
And then the jollof, have you tried the Ghanaian jollof?
No, I've just been here doing emails and admin and talking to people all day.
I think what do you love about Ghana? What attracts you to Ghana?
People.
People. So
friendly, really friendly, super smart, energized people. Yes. And at this point, I should say something about Indaba X Ghana, which is immensely impressive. So this is an event that runs every year
100%.
With a data science event in Ghana.
Yes, sir.
Most tech savvy event I've ever attended virtually in my whole life. Professionalism to the nth degree. I could go on. Like they booked their own Airbnb. They web streamed on 3 or 4 different platforms.
Wow.
At more than 1,000 people join online.
Wow.
So I was very, surprised, maybe unfairly surprised, but surprised by the extreme efficiency and professionality and a sort of Silicon Valley style tech confidence that you find in Ghana.
Yes.
Yeah, no, this is great.
It's great, Doc, we're 7 years in now, deep learning in Dhaba. Big milestone.
Yeah.
Another milestone is coming very soon. In 3 years, you'll be reaching a decade.
Yeah.
What are your aspirations? How does deep learning in Dhaba look like when we're celebrating 10 years?
Good question. The question we always ask is like, when are we done? Because the original mission was we exist to strengthen machine learning as a discipline in Africa.
Yes, sir.
And then we say, when is it strengthened enough that you should cease to exist or that you should just hand over responsibilities to other communities, yes, because your existence is actually inhibiting growth. You become like the bureaucratic funnel.
Yes, sir.
That stops people from
getting access to other opportunities.
Yeah, and so hopefully in 10 years' time, we won't be a bureaucratic organization. We always try to do a number of new things every year. We always have a new location. We always add new components to the program. In 10 years' time, hopefully we're still relevant. Okay. We're still young and innovative.
Yes, yes. I have to ask you this. You work at Google DeepMind.
Yeah.
What cool stuff are you working on right now?
Actually, I spend most of my time in Cape Town at the African Institute of Mathematical Sciences.
Okay.
Yeah. We're starting a new master's program in AI for Science.
Beautiful.
On Monday.
This coming Monday.
Amazing. 40 students should technically arrive, visas permitting.
Okay.
We should say that out loud.
Let's keep our fingers crossed with
visas. Permitting that their visas will arrive on Monday.
Yes.
I mean, half of them still don't have visas. So it's 40 students. Focus is on artificial intelligence at the intersection of the sciences.
Yes.
So you're South African, you know the drama when Omicron was discovered. So there's like really good epidemiology happening in SA. Square kilometer array is there. And so then many partners on this journey. Yeah, so that's been my main thing this last year, setting this up.
Doctor, thank you so much for joining us.
You're so welcome.
As the official media partner, we're delighted to be here. Can't wait for next year.
Neither can we. We have to figure out where it's going to be.
Where do you think we should take it?
I would.
Don't be afraid.
There are a few. Senegal, Uganda.
Okay.
I would really
like country,
to.
Senegal. Getting a lot of Senegal.
I wouldn't mind Mauritius, but that's not good.
I think, Doctor, you're thinking about a vacation.
We've been to Nairobi. We've been to Tunisia.
Okay.
Hopefully, South Africa. The year after
that.
It's time to go south.
Yes.
The challenge is, of course, finding large enough venues now as we're growing.
Of course.
And venues that are coupled with cheap accommodation.
Cheap accommodation.
Because we do everything on a shoestring.
Yes, sir. Okay. No, thank you very much, Doc.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iAfrican.com. That is iAfrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.